clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes and we're here for part two of The Inner Game with Ty Libby and Peter Donahue.
Hey Andy, it's December.
Yes, it is.
You're right about that. We also have a studio audience of Coach Mike and Coach Jansen who are laughing at your jokes. So it's nice.
I can't believe
to
it's
have.
December.
Yeah. I mean, it comes every year, you know. Can you believe it's December, Pete? Or
we were just outside looking at a property, possible driving range, and I mean, it is so cold out there. That wind is coming out of the north. It's nasty.
Yeah. Is it surprising to you?
Is it surprising? It's shocking.
Okay. Now that we've covered the most important topics of the day, we're here to continue talking about Timothy Galway's book, The Inner Game of Golf, and some thoughts along and some thoughts and ideas from it. We covered the first chapter last week. In the second chapter, he introduces some talk about swing thoughts, about concentration, and about awareness. So we're going to be talking about all of those things here. Peter, when did you first kind of come across this? Could you explain what back hit means and where it came from?
Well, back hit is an exercise, is one of Galway's original exercises that he got from the tennis. His tennis coaching, where the object of his training was to get the student to become so absorbed in watching the ball and simply following the ball and reacting to it that instead of thinking about how they were going to take their arm back or step into it or whatever instruction they've been given. And so he started in tennis asking the student to say bounce when the ball actually hit the surface of the court and then hit when the ball actually was hit by the racket. And he found that it was very difficult for people to do. Their mind wasn't really on that. It was really on, you know, whatever habit of mind they had. So they would anticipate, they'd either be, you know, late or early in saying it. And then little by little, they would start to actually get more accurate about following the ball and they'd relax. And as they did this, their ability to react and to hit the ball improved. And so when he went to take up golf, he said, well, geez, the challenge here in golf is that there isn't a moving tennis ball to become absorbed in. So what's real that we can follow? And what that is the golf club head. And so back hit in golf became how accurate can you be in saying back when the club has stopped moving backwards and then hit as the club head comes into the ball. And the object is to become accurate at being able to say that what is.
Yeah. Sounds difficult.
Yeah, if you try it, which I have done, and in his book he tells stories of other people who've tried it, it's really hard to actually say back when your club reaches its furthest point back, and it's really hard to say hit when the club actually hits the ball, but I think that the reason that it's so difficult actually kind of makes me think he's onto something, right? Like if most people aren't aware of where their club, when their club reaches the top of your backswing and when the club hits the ball, you're probably making it harder than it needs to be, or you're not aware. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is. You're not aware. You're aware of what you're trying to do, and you're And you find when you do this that you have certain moments in your swing that you never knew you had. Like there's a moment, you know, when you swing the club away where you just go, okay, it's time to get going forward now. And, you know, the body is braces up and gets ready for that. And a lot of times that's when people, for instance, squeeze the club very hard right away or fire something. But they couldn't possibly entertain any other thought like being aware of the club. I mean, they are aware of it at some point, but there's just a whole bunch of, you get to a certain point, you're backswinging and you're going, yahoo, and the club's still going backwards. You're just not paying attention to it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you said off mic that you don't use this drill, but what do you think is a positive takeaway from this idea?
Well, I think that it is bringing you into the moment of feeling and paying attention to the sweep and the weight and the, you know, of swinging club head. I mean, there's Ernest Jones, who one of the most famous teachers in golf, you know, that was his feel for the swing, was that you should feel the end of the club head like a penknife swinging from a handkerchief. And so Galway took that particular perspective. Let's put our attention in the club head and follow it and see if we can discover what we're actually doing when we're swinging away, because that's what happens. You run right smack dab into it. Because people's, you know, if you ask people to do anything like hum or whistle or sing a song, you'll very often find at the top of their backswing that they've stopped breathing and they can't talk anymore. And, you know, and that's the mode they get into. And so it's a fascinating thing to track what's going on in your backswing transitioning into your downswing.
Yeah. I think one of the most appealing parts of this idea to me is that it quiets self one and lets self two hit the actual shot. Last week we talked about how self one is the voice inside you that tells you you suck at golf and you're bad and there's out of bounds over there and last time you shanked it or last time, you know, you topped it, or the voice telling you you better keep your head down or you better keep your left arm straight, and that actually keeps you from playing better golf, right? Self two is the one that actually swings, but it takes all its instruction from self one. But if you, in the midst of your swing, are saying back as the club gets the back and hit as it hits the ball, that kind of almost distracts the self one from saying anything.
Yes, that was, and that's exactly what he was going for. Yep, let's do stuff that distracts that verbal part of you, and let's see what happens.
Yep, and so Ty, what kind of swing thoughts go through your head as you're playing?
So most recently in the last few months, you know, I've been following George Gankus like some of you guys, and really thinking about rotating my hips through. I don't have the most flexible hips in the world, and so I tend to block shots outright. I'm a right-handed golfer. So I've been really trying to have one or two thoughts, but that main one being use my big muscles like Jansen taught me and get my hips through. So that's my main swing thought right now.
So you have like, you're thinking technically about something your body is doing.
Correct.
Not about the club.
Right.
Okay. How about you, Pete? What are you?
Well, my practice is usually dictated by, you know, changing swing thoughts. You know, I'll exercise a backswing thought, and then I'll exercise a forward swing part, you know, thought. And sometimes I'll, you know, exercise, you know, two or three of them. Right now, you know, I've got this, my pet project is I'm working on a more rotational swing. I was always an upright swinger that, you know, really got to the top of the backswing, made a move, and just kind of then threw, launched the club. And then as I started to think about, you know, a little different swing plane and different delivery action with the hands coming into the ball was a more rotational swing. And so there's a lot of neural circuitry to be built there. And so I'm like this, I don't know what you'd call it, but I'm a, you know, I'm a builder. I'm trying to go in there and revisit the wiring and see if there's anything I can discover about it, you know, today. And so it shifts a lot. And I do shift it into the target as well, because as we've talked in the past, I think it's important, if you're going to be good at changing perspective, then you have to practice it. So
metaphorically, are you throwing new things at the wall and seeing what sticks when you're practicing, or are you trying stuff that you've maybe used in the past, or both?
Well, some of it is absolutely, you know, going out there and throwing stuff against the wall. Yeah. Because I'm particularly interested, especially as I get older, in, you know, where's the power going to come from now that I don't have my muscle mass is diminishing? And I think, that it's in rotation. You know, it's what human beings do better than, you know, anybody except maybe dolphins. Right? I mean, you know, we're not as fast as the cheetah or as strong as the elephant, but we're upright and we can rotate.
Can dolphins rotate that well?
Well, I don't know. Don't you imagine that they can? I don't know that they can.
Well, I feel like they can bend, like their fins can bend, but I don't know that they rotate. Well,
barrel rolls. I remember Flipper doing barrel rolls. Y'all are too young for Flipper.
But a barrel roll is even not rotate. It's not the same kind.
No, it's not it's not the same rotation. No, I'm talking about, you know, I don't know what you call it, but
I'd imagine a giraffe, their neck, do you think they could? All right.
Maybe. No.
Owl?
I think so.
We'll move on. When you're actually on the course playing, what do you still have a backswing thought and a downswing thought? Or?
Well, I don't do two at once. Okay. I mean, not usually. Not that I can't do it. You know, I am the cat in the hat when it comes to juggling swing thoughts. Look at me, look at me, look at me now. I'm juggling the rake and the fishbowl. I can entertain a few swing thoughts.
Would you say that's negative?
I would say that, no, I would say, just like Stan does, I think that when you have, you know, a swing thought, it's a simplifying thought for you. It gives you something positive to be focused on. And a lot of times the thought isn't actually a word. It may be a word that signifies a, you know, like Sam Snead thought oily. Well, you don't think he was actually thinking O-I-L-Y. No, he was thinking about greased up gears or, you know, something like that. He was just using the words to find the image.
Do you have an example of a word you like or?
Well, a spiral wing. That's the way I think about the golf swing, is this kind of boomerang that's spiraling, you know, kind of downward.
It makes more sense when you can see your diagram.
Yeah, I don't know what a spiral wing is, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So like a boomerang that goes one way and then comes back?
Well, just think of it as really just kind of spiraling downward.
Okay.
The helicopter needles.
Yeah, the helicopter needles from the trees.
Exactly. Oh, there we go. Okay, got it. Yeah, you mentioned Stan Utley. He is a friend of the golf practice and a popular teacher, to say the least. He says he always has one or two swing thoughts in his mind, whether it's a place where his arm goes or turning his shoulders or moving his wrist in a certain way. And so that's, you know, that's almost, would you say that is self one talking?
Well, no, I wouldn't actually. I don't know. That's maybe yes. It isn't just, I don't think we really know what it is, because if Stan was saying, hey, I'm going to be aware of the sense of the club going back or my arm in space or something like that. He's describing for you in words what he's going to be aware of. God. Now, you know, if, you know, when you think, this is kind of, I've had funny results with this over the years. We used, when we started the academy, rhythm was a really a central focus in our training, and we were always playing either metronomic beats or rhythmic music. And we had a gentleman one day start a program, and he came out to practice, and he said, "Well, I've already got you guys figured out." And he said, "Really? What is that?" He said, "Well, this rhythm thing is easy for me. All I have to do is say rhythm to myself, and then I swing very evenly and very easily." And so he said, "Gosh, that's terrific. After only one lesson, you've learned so much. So show me what you do." And so he said, "Fine." And he takes his club in his hand, and he starts, "Rhythm." And then another time, a lady came back. She'd been a student for some months, and she came back, and she'd been so thrilled with the training. But she said, "Your lesson didn't work for me last Tuesday." And I said, "Well, what were you thinking?" And she said, "Rhythm and balance." I said, I asked her, "Well, how were you thinking, just as a for instance, about rhythm? Was it a beat? What did you hear? Some tick tock?" And she said, No. "I was thinking rhythm and balance." And this questioning went on for a while, and finally I said, "Do you mean to tell me you were thinking about the printing of the actual words in your head, like R H Y T H M and B A L A N C E?" And she said, "Yeah. Those two signs that you've got in the back of your dojo over there." So I would say that's self-one.
Yeah, whenever I've had swing thoughts or tried to have swing thoughts, which, I mean, is more often than not because sometimes they can be hard to control, whether it be complete your turn in the backswing. If I think, I'm standing over the ball thinking, okay, make sure you turn all the way back, and I turn all the way back and usually... like don't turn all the way through or make some other mistake on the follow through. So then I think, well, now let's add another swing thought for the follow through, right? And then so you can see where this is going, that it ends up being a jumbled mess and play terrible golf because of it. Cause you're trying to control every single path of the swing. You're like, all right, take away slow, make the turn, now come back through and don't forget to stop. You know, all these things like are just distractions and keep you from actually playing well. So I guess if, like Stan, you can keep it to just one thought, maybe that can be a helpful way to swing. But to me, that like one thought tends to just like dominate everything, you know, become like the essential thought. And I do everything else like almost wrong to some extent.
So the only thing I would say is when I try to have one or max two thoughts, I try not to focus on the outcome. So, yeah, I might shank one, but I'm just trying to focus on getting the hips through. And if I do that enough, hopefully one day I'll have the muscle memory to move on to something else. Yeah. That's how I try to look at it.
I think, you know, you definitely hit on some, you know, major issues that golfers have, because, you know, what you're describing, Andy, is very, very common, of course. And that is the notion that we would correct that first of all, we can't possibly safeguard against everything. So you focus on one thing and something, and what happens on your next swing? Oh, you make a mistake. And as soon as you make that mistake, now there's a new correction, right? So every swing you're making, you're coming up with one or two more corrections, which is, again, very, very common. And anybody who's really earnest, as an earnest student of the game and has taken lessons, has experienced what you're experiencing. And when it gets to be a habit, it's a hell of a thing to break, because you can't get somebody to stop judging every single mistake they made and then plugging it in. And, you know, you can preach to them all day long and they think you're nuts because they really think that their thinking is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I know we're against like quick tips here, but the one quick tip that has actually like, lowered my score a ton is to stop trying to like correct things on the actual golf course. I did that for so many years throughout competitive golf of just, you slice the first one, you go, oh, I must have come over the top, when there could have been a million reasons why you actually sliced that one. So you end up trying to fix something that didn't actually need fixing.
Right.
And then the next one, like you're saying, goes bad. So you try to fix something else in addition to that, and you're just so far gone. So you can't. The tip was like bring the whatever swing you bring to the course that day. So like if you kind of fade the first one, just okay, like this is where we're going, and then just like play that, and you can play pretty well that way. But you really run into trouble when you try to correct everything.
Yeah, it's a fool's errand, and it just is something that catches very conscientious people because you know they start falling prey to that kind of thought, and then it just keeps going and going and going. But you know, I don't think we're against tips. I think what we're anything that someone says to you, you know, kind of offhand, can be seen as a tip. Or you could see it as the doorway to a path that you could walk down. I mean, if it's just some one thing somebody said, very often you say, hey, I got this tip from the pro the other day. Hey, stop worrying. Well, I mean, that's a process, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to just go stop worrying because somebody suggested to
sure.
us. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a pathway. I think I'll try that. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, if I exercise that for long enough, I'll really have something for myself. Mm-hmm. I think it took me 5 years to undo the first 5 years I was in the golf business. I mean, because I bought hook, line, and sinker into the idea that I could think and control every inch of that backswing, and that what I'd get out of that was an automatic muscle memory. And what I got out of it was somebody asked me one time, hey, pro, what starts your downswing? And I know that that what they were looking for was something like, well, you know, I feel the coil in my right hip, and, you know, and it just fires. But I had to say honestly, it's a voice that says, not now, not now, not now, now. Because I was like completing my backswing, you know, like, okay.
And so what you had to unlearn was this like controlling of everything, and you move towards what?
Move towards ease. Move towards ease, mental ease, and physical, you know, ease. I think that the mental ease has come, and but I know it's not complete, because I find myself, you know, very often physically very tight, and so I have a feeling that's symptomatic of
you
know, of a grip that I'm trying to keep on things.
Yeah, I think. I play best when my swing thought is just like of the target that you're hitting at, whether it be a tree or the pin or something in the distance. Bob Rotella, who's another like mental game coach, he tells you to have no swing thoughts because he thinks they just get in the way. I mean, that's been my experience. They get in the way. He says just see a target and react to it. Like if you were going to throw a ball to someone, you just look at them and you throw the ball and you don't really think twice about it. But yet when it comes to golf, when we try to hit a ball a certain direction, we think about every technical thing ever. You know what I mean? Like if we were going to play catch and you think about the position of your elbow and your backswing, you're probably going to start, or in your back, you know, throwing motion, you're probably going to start throwing bad passes to each other. And so I think the same thing kind of applies to golf. I found that to my experience.
As long as you have some base knowledge and some level of understanding of the golf swing. I mean, I remember growing up playing baseball, high school baseball, pretty high level, we would practice that throwing, you know, where's your insole pointed? Where's your elbow when you rotate backwards, et cetera, you know, restricting your feet so that you can only use your upper body. And I think it's the same way with golf. As long as you have some basic understanding, yeah, when I go in the back and aim at something, I'm much more likely to hit it than if I sit here and think about every little thing.
But we have there's kids who we have at our camps or classes even who have, you know, they can be on the driving range and they hit 30 balls horribly. They couldn't really tell you much about any type of a backswing, but then we can send Coach Mike out there to the 100 marker and say, hit a ball at Coach Mike, and they laser a ball right at his head because they just see something and react to it. And so I think that gets back to one of Galway's ideas, and I think Bob Rotella would agree, is that like yourself too, like the one who actually does the playing, your subconscious knows a lot more about golf and about swinging than you give him credit for. And the problem is we don't trust ourselves to actually hit the ball, so we feel we have to add all the, like, I don't know, because I don't have a fundamental idea of golf, like I have to add all these things in to make sure that self too knows well enough to hit the ball, when if we could just trust him or her, it would be a lot better for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a great place to always return. I think that, going off and having, forays into the world of possibilities, you know, by following something that you're physically going to try to incorporate in your swing, like George's, squat and rotating up, you know, going through the ball. I mean, you have to program that into yourself and structure exercise and practice sessions, you know, where this is going to start to happen. And, I think, as we've said before, I think for me personally, the pre-shot waggle, you know, is where, you know, I take all that verbal stuff and, you know, put it into something that's a movement. And it sort of processes mm-hmm. that into, you know, muscle language. And to me, I think that's easy, because when you get it into the form of a motion or, you know, some mental.
Yeah. Like a feel. Yeah. Yeah. That's what George Gankus does when he teaches to do two practice swings. And the first one, you can be thinking of something technical, whether it be, like, finish your turn back and then turn through. But then the second practice swing, he says, turn it into a feel, which kind of, as he's swinging, somehow transitions it from, words on a page to like a feeling deep inside you. And then when you're actually hitting the ball, he wants like no thought whatsoever. He says like blank out. And he does that by like looking at the trees in the distance or something. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of what you're saying, of turning it into a feel and I'd really a trust.
Yeah.
I think all of these things, you know, Galway, Rotella, Utley, they all get back to like trusting yourself and letting yourself hit the ball and becoming aware of something. It's almost like, would you agree that the distinction is between trust and like over control, right? That when the swing thoughts become about over-analyzing, over-controlling, grasping on tightly, that's when it becomes, like, a problem?
Yes, and you can see it. I mean, it's always test things out by asking, hey, how's this working for me? You know, and when you have swing thoughts and you find that they're actually detracting from the whole, because you're focusing on one thing so much that now it doesn't actually blend into the whole anymore. Well, you know that you've gone too far. Yeah. You know, you need to shift your thoughts and get more into a rhythmic movement flow than whatever it is you're thinking. And so, I think it's like surfing to me. I mean, I'm not a surfer, but I mean, I imagine it. There's stuff that comes at you and you know, swing thoughts become exaggerated. You know, swing thoughts, you know, really have a limited shelf life before they become, you know, sort of spoiled. And so I think you simply have to be aware that that's how you operate and, you know, recognize, hey, I'm overbalanced in the, you know, thinking arm department. You know, what can I do to, you know, restore order? And so, you know, I think having, you know, a wide palette of, or tool belt, Mike.
Large tool belt. Yeah.
So you kind of, your teaching, Pete, what's your teaching, what is your teaching regarding swing thoughts? How has it evolved to this point and where is it now?
Well, I would say that, I think I just described it. I think that I believe that any that there needs to be a whole part whole kind of approach that, that players have to their swings, that that there be a whole feel to it, you know, that, that we feel the club head from back to finish, or we feel the that weight out on the end, you know, interplaying with the rotating core, and then the particular parts of it, you know, you can address those, you know, whether that's your delivery action, you know, whether you want to more to hold more cocking in your wrists and let your body turn, start to carry the L shape of the shaft and the arm, you know, down into the hitting area, or whether you just want to make a move and launch that the arms from more of the top of the backswing. You know, this is all these things I think are excellent places to go. I just think that that you cultivate them, you find them yourself in all of your practice sessions. And when my students find them, you know, I think what I try to do is label them for what they are, you know, and that is a good tool for when you feel that this area of your swing is in need. Let's go get that, you know, but let's not act like it's a magic amulet, you know, that's going to be the cure for good and all. I mean, that's the laughable image of the golfer. Oh, I found it. You know, This is it. My life is going to be simple from here on out. You know, it's...
I mean, that's what we're all... Everyone wants the magic amulet that tells us our life's going to be simple, whether in golf or anything else, really, but...
Yeah, isn't that funny? I mean, and it's exactly, we certainly wouldn't want that. We've talked about that before.
That'd be
the worst. That would be just awful. But, you know, when people come in to take instruction, when they're stimulated to come in to take a lesson, you know, they've got a complaint. And the complaint is, I'm not as consistent as I want to be. I'm not as reliable. I'm not as powerful. I'm not as, you know, and so these are questions that these people want answered. And, you know, a lot of times the answer that we would give them right now, Andy, is not satisfying to them. Hey, don't worry about it, man. Life is inconsistent, you know, get over it. No. That's not. That's not their reality.
No.
You know, their reality is what they're thinking is right, and they want you to deal with them on their reality.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've really covered a lot. We started with the month of December to dolphins and giraffes and all sorts of mental thoughts.
Spinning, rotating.
Spinning.
Yep.
Yeah. So, what did you call it? Wheel.
Spiral wings.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. As always, we'll talk to you next
time. Because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Come back.
Here it comes. Come back.